In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends and clients, our Lord Jesus Christ asks a question here in the Gospel, which is the essence of the parable he gives today. Are you envious because I am generous? As we have to ask ourselves, are we envious, at least from time to time? Everything I'm going to speak about today is going to revolve around those words of our Lord. Are you envious? Now, if you were to pick up a Bible concordance, look the word envy, you would see it comes up throughout the Scripture, starting from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. It comes up in the Proverbs and Psalms. It's all over. And our Lord implies it many times too in many of the different gospel passages. Now Proverbs 14, verse 30 says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." Now what's envy? Envy is sadness or discontent at the excellence, good fortune, or success of another. And envy implies that I somehow consider myself deprived. That person got something that should have been going my way. Now, when we talk about envy, we have to make a distinction. Sometimes it's easy to put jealousy and envy, make those synonymous the same thing, but they're a little bit different. Jealousy implies unwillingness to share what I have, my possessions or gifts, friends, whether natural, supernatural, whether physical or spiritual, with someone else. So jealousy is like a holding on. This is mine. This is mine. I remember in high school, some people were jealous, like they had their friends. Well, I don't want to introduce people to that. I'll lose my friends. Jealousy is like a holding on. And envy is a sadness or discontent, saying that really should have been mine. That person deprived me. Now, some examples of envy. Let's say you're driving your car. So you got a new car. It's a modest car, and all of a sudden you see a Lamborghini going the other way. Man, that should have been my car. Look at the type of car I'm driving. That would be an example of envy. Let's say a woman's going for a walk, and she's another woman walking by, and she sees her to be more beautiful. Well, you know, why did God make her so beautiful, and I'm just plain? I should be more like that. It should be reversed. That would be an example of envy. Now, here is just some results of envy, okay? One-third of the holy angels, all the angels were holy when God created them, but one-third of them, out of envy, became devils. God's becoming man, he's not becoming an angel. It was envy which brought our first fall of our first parents. The devil envied their happiness. That's what it says in the book of Wisdom, chapter 2, verse 24. By the envy of the devil, death entered the world. Genesis chapter 4. You see another sin of envy. Cain murders Abel. Abel's sacrifice was accepted to the Father. Cain's like, what, my sacrifice? That he's taking something away from me. And so that envy led to murder. And oftentimes the spiritual writers say one of the root causes of murder, homicide, and envy is in there, anger and envy. Now, if we get into that game of trying to compare ourselves to others, as Cain did like that, envy, vain, bitterness, all these different things should come into our hearts. We're not to do that. We're to compare ourselves to our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember St. Paul? This was all in a race. He said, run as to win. If you're going to win the race, you're looking at the goal. You're not going to be looking here, looking there. That's going to slow you down. You have to keep looking forward. The sin of envy helps. We're looking here, we're looking there, and we're forgetting the gift that God has given us. Saul, first king of Israel. What happened? He was anointed king. There's a rising star coming, David. And so what happens in his heart, he sees David's getting all this praise, and envy, it says, filled his heart. He's taking away from my praise. So 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 9, he sought to murder David because of the sin of envy. And the worst result of envy in the whole Bible can seen to be in Matthew chapter 27, verse 28. It says, out of envy, the scribes and Pharisees handed Jesus Christ over to be crucified. Now think about that. The scribes and Pharisees, they know the law, the Torah. They're the ones who should have had the eyes to see this is the Messiah, this is the anointed one. They're seeing Jesus getting this praise and people are adoring and listening to his words. So out of envy, they handed Christ. The envy blinded them to the reality of what was before them, the Lord God. There's a story, an ancient story, history tells us of a statue that was erected to Theogenes. He was a great Greek Olympian athlete. The statue was put up. he's still alive. One of his competitors was very, very envious of this. Why they built a statue to him and not to me. So every day he would go in the evening and at night, and he would knock it. After a while, he would get the foundation weak and be able to push it over, knock it. Eventually, he was successful, and the statue fell, but it fell upon him. So the envy led to his own death. Now, no position in life, no state in the church, no vocation in life is exempt from the virus of envy. Now, I'm just going to give you some examples of manifestations of envy. You can look at your own soul, your own spiritual life, to see if some of that's there to a certain degree. And it's really tough, that envy. Sometimes it can slither down real quietly. We don't realize it's there, but real suddenly. First, hatred. The person envy. If you have hatred towards a person, many times there's envy there. Or, let's say if you're all overcritical of some person all the time, that's a red flag, a warning, that there's envy there. Or detraction, you're always speaking badly about a certain person. Detraction of the envy person's character is a sign of envy. Or resentment. There's resentment of the person's possessions, maybe their job titles, maybe where they live, maybe there's something of their family, resentments. When I was in seminary, one of my classmates, he called, I don't know if he got this made up himself or from his spiritual book, but he called envy the pleasureless sin. If someone has the sin of gluttony, there's a certain pleasure that comes eating that food, they'll be sick later. Or sins of lust, certain pleasure there, but later on then the guilt and everything that comes from sin and results of that. So all the sin is certain pleasure, but envy is the pleasureless sin. It's a virus in one's soul, makes someone bitter, it rots the bones, as it says there in the scriptures. It's just horrible. Now here's the biggest warning, red flag to any of us. If envy's in our heart. Ever heard about bad news happening to an enemy of yours? A bad news to someone you don't particularly care for? That person broke their leg. That person got in an accident. That person... And all of a sudden the joy comes in your heart. Yeah, they got what was coming to them. Whoa! The minute we perceive that in our soul, go to confession. Father, forgive me. The sin of envy is dominating my life. That's the biggest thing. You hear someone that maybe rubbed you wrong in life and maybe was a real jerk to you, and then all of a sudden something bad happens and that comes. And here's another story. I thought it'd be good for this area. How many times have you looked up to see eagles flying in the sky? And the first time I saw eagles outside of like a zoo or anything was here when I came to East Dubuque. Especially the winter time, looking up the blue sky and seeing the eagles fly with the white feathers on their head there and just so majestic and soaring. Just with their wings flying effortlessly. But here's a story. Two eagles are flying. They're soaring above the Mississippi River. But one is mightier and stronger and flies much quicker. And one eagle is a little bit envious. You know, my wings should be bigger. I should be flying like that. And envious, not proud of his brother eagle, being able to fly so well. And so the envious eagle, he sees below with their eagle eyes, he sees a hunter down there with a bow and arrow. And so the eagle flies down and says to the hunter, hey, you think you could hit that big eagle up there? The hunter says, well, no, he's too high. I'll need some extra feathers on my arrow to do it. So the envious eagle takes out a feather, gives it to him, shoots. I need more. Takes out another feather. He's shooting. And so the archer, he's getting closer. He misses, getting closer. And before you know it, the envious eagle has pulled out all of his feathers. And then the idea dawns on the hunter. Oh, this is a helpless little bird, can't fly. Turns and kills that envious eagle. So the moral of the story, the envy killed the eagle. Then the story, the Greek story of Theogenes, envy killed an other rival athlete. Envy does, it's like a virus in the soul and it comes up suddenly. You may not think it's there, then all of a sudden something comes up like the bad news to someone else. It comes up. Now what are the remedies? Well, charity in the last analysis is the remedy for envy, the saint says. So first, striving to think of the person well, trying to think kindly of the person. Even maybe manifesting those thoughts by concrete actions, doing something nice for the person, acting the opposite of how you feel. Because what does Saint Paul says? Only, he said, only conduct yourselves, he's saying, If you forget everything else, conduct yourselves in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ. Conduct yourself. Your heart may be filled one way. The inclination of sin, original sin, may be drawing you one way. But don't do that. Act the opposite. Act the way that Christ would want you to act. Mortification. Every day we need to be practicing some mortification. The Lord Jesus Christ says, pick up your cross daily. Because you know what happens? When we strive to practice mortification, we give up the radio when we're in the car, or we give up television, we give up maybe candy, we give up eating between meals. If we're practicing mortifications, what's happening is we're mortifying our self-love. And so if the virus of envy is in our heart, it's going to start to wither and wither to the point that it will die. And as I said earlier too, another remedy, thank God. Thank God for the gifts that you have. You know, all of us have tremendous, tremendous, tremendous gifts. I was reading this story, there's this lady. She says she's the type of person, she's really easy, falls into like a pity party. And she, if something doesn't go right, and she's like down and real hard on herself after she talks to a person. Then she says she went out, and she saw this man in a wheelchair. He didn't have his legs, and he was just going like that. But he had the biggest smile, and the joy radiated. She said that was such a wake-up call for her. She was like, whoa. Why am I feeling like this? Look, and I could walk, and I could talk. Here's a gentleman who's just happy as a lark, and he doesn't have any legs. It was a real wake-up call. So many times we forget the gifts that God has given us. I know something I think many times we take for advantage. We have the gift of faith. We who have this gift of faith, we don't realize the strength and the courage that it gives us in life over those who don't have faith. Those without faith, wow. They have nothing to look forward to. There's no hope. They give into despair so easily. We have faith. We believe that if we turn to Christ humbly through prayer, that He will help us, that He is there. And we believe in a God who loves us and wants the best for us. So, dear Jesus, I know the sin of envy, which rears its ugly head from time to time. I don't like it, and I know you don't like it. So, dear Jesus, help me to remove it. You know, when God looks at all of us, He sees us, as Matthew Kelly says, the best versions of ourselves. He sees what we can be, what we will be, when we're perfected by grace. And He wants to help us to reach that ideal, to reach that perfection. But we have to constantly turn towards Him. You know, all these readings here today, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him. How many here would like the Lord to be near to you throughout the whole day? At the workplace, amen. At the workplace, when you're shopping, when you're driving, how many would like to have the Lord near to you? Well, what do you have to do? Call upon Him. So throughout the day, that interior conversation with the Lord, constantly going to Him. So when the different sins start rearing their ugly head, you realize, uh-oh, something's here that's not of Christ. Dear Jesus, I need your help to remove it. And ask everyone, let's bow our heads. We're going to say a prayer here. It's typed up. This is from our friend, Father John Carter. Lord Jesus, if there was one sin that you made clear that would deprive us of your friendship, it is the sin of envy. But Lord, we know ourselves too well not to realize we cannot overcome this vice by ourselves. With your grace, we need your mercy, that by our conquering our tendency to envy others, we will prove our deep love for you. Because, dear Jesus, you are God, and you have a right to give everyone what you want to give. And you forbid us to question your generosity by our practice of envy. So help us to practice charity, to become perfected in your love. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.